Tonight, turn, if you would please, to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah 32. And I'm going to kind of pick and choose as far as a few verses within this chapter rather than reading the entire chapter, but to make the point that I want to make this evening as we continue on in this matter of dealing with the subject of faith and looking at different portions of Scripture and approaching it in different ways. Tonight we find ourselves in Jeremiah chapter 32. And I've actually kind of renamed or changed the title of my message tonight. I'm going to call it the same as the article that was posted today on Facebook, namely, A Prison Land Deal. A Prison Land Deal. But we're going to see tonight as we get into the Scriptures that this all was a faith venture on the part of the prophet. So now, with your Bibles open, let's begin looking, first of all, verse number 2 of chapter 32 of the book of Jeremiah. Verse 2. The Bible says, "For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house." Then jump on down to verse number 9, if you would. Verse number 9. "And I bought the field of Hanameel, my uncle's son, that was at Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver." Now verse number 14. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed, and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days." Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word and now the study, and help us tonight to appreciate more what it is all about, the matter of trusting the Lord, of faith, of depending upon the Lord in our lives. Now bless tonight the service. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now to begin this evening in the message that I'm going to attempt to preach, the way my evening got started, I may have to turn it back over to Brother Bruce anyway before it's over, as forgetful as I am today. But anyway, let me begin on this note tonight. We see here in the Old Testament an Old Testament example of the display of faith despite difficult circumstances. And that certainly was the case with Jeremiah. I mean, you can't have any more of a difficult situation than to be in prison. So that was where he was when this event here unfolds. The prophet was in prison at a time which was basically preceding the total Babylon captivity. And it was while he was in prison that the prophet makes a land deal, if I can kind of put it in simple terms. He purchases a piece of property that had been in the family. And he makes the purchase from one of his first cousins. And I'll explain that as we proceed right on into the message. The prophet's display of faith is seen here, and it certainly reminds us of the notables of faith that Brother Bruce and I have referenced several times already in our Wednesday night study on faith, namely in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. We could see how Jeremiah could be listed among those notables of the faith. Hebrews chapter 11, as we've been taught, as we've attempted even to teach, is about the great men and women who made a purchase of an investment of faith. They made a purchase of an investment of faith. Included in that listing, of course, there's several names that have already come up in these studies, but there's Abel, who offered a more excellent sacrifice. There was Enoch, who walked with God, and of course, again, it's all by faith. There was Noah, who moved with fear to the building of the ark. There was Abraham, who believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And then there is the mention of Sarah. Now, God says in Hebrews chapter number 11 that the world was not worthy of them. That's an interesting statement, and that is certainly noteworthy and worthy perhaps of a preacher developing a sermon around that thought there. The world was not worthy of them. By the way, those notable men and women of faith, including those men and women today of faith, they make the greatest contribution to the world anyway. So the world is not worthy of them because men and women of faith make the greatest contribution to the world, and the world cannot understand that, cannot discern that, because the world's on a different plane altogether when it comes to the matter of spiritual discernment. So no wonder the world is not worthy of them. You know what the world is worthy of? The world is worthy of the ungodly because the ungodly and the world are both agreed anyway. So now, we find here an unprecedented account of investment. If I can put it like that, an unprecedented account of an investment. The prophet Jeremiah makes a land investment, and it's unprecedented, considering where he was and why he was there, and considering all of the background. Now, you know what this would be like? This would be like a man going to see a family member who was in prison and selling the family farm that had previously been possessed by someone else. That's basically what that would be like if you kind of look at it in a practical way. Now, Jeremiah purchased land that was already in Babylonian control. And that's the reason for, you know, the illustration I attempted to give. He displays a great faith in God's ultimate plan for his people. That's what he's doing. He's displaying faith in God's ultimate plan for his people. Now let me break it down this evening as far as the study is concerned. First of all, we see a faith purchase. A faith purchase. And since tonight, we are, by the way, not to be distracted from a message, is that a new clock there, Brother Bruce? I thought so. I don't see a whole lot. I don't observe a whole lot, but I did observe that clock is different. Now, everybody do like just Hal just did. Turn around and look, okay? We see here a faith purchase. And that's what we're studying anyway when it comes to the matter of this series on faith. A faith purchase. Considering where he was, he should have been selling land rather than buying land if he had any to sell. I mean, when a person's incarcerated or in prison, that would not seem like the best place to be buying land, would it? If anything, if you had land, you needed to get rid of it. That would be the time, if you could, to get rid of it, not purchase land while you're in prison. His faith was tried in the form of a land deal. That's how his faith was tried. God told him to make the purchase. And that was a trial of his faith, but he obviously passed the test. You know, faith and consecration walk together. Consecration to the Lord and living for his glory. That's how it all should work. So they work together. A lady one time was asking the preacher what consecration meant. She was probing the preacher, wanting to find out a little bit about what it meant to be consecrated. So she asked the question, and he handed her a blank sheet of paper and said for her to simply sign her name at the bottom of the sheet and let God fill in the blanks. That's kind of what it is to be totally consecrated to the Lord. Faith is not believing, and catch the point I want to make here. Faith is not believing in spite of evidence, but it's obeying in spite of the consequences. That's what faith is. Faith has a credible evidence, though. It does. We're not stepping out into the blind. We're not blindly stepping out into the dark. Not in believing God. Faith does have a credible evidence. Jeremiah, he exercised faith in this land deal, because he knew that an all-powerful God of creation could be trusted. Let me give you biblical documentation for that statement. Now, we've come on Wednesday night. It's a Bible study. Y'all don't mind looking at a few verses of Scripture with me, do you? We come with our Bibles. Y'all did better than I did, of course. I didn't come with my Bible. I had to go back home and get it. But anyway, that's beside the point now. But verse number 17, let me show you something here very, very important. Verse number 17. Notice, thou showest loving kindness unto the thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them, the great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts, is his name. So actually now, as Jeremiah considers who God is, his power, his sovereignty, his ability in creation, Jeremiah has no doubt that this powerful God of creation can be trusted. So you know, sometimes when our faith wavers, it's good for us to ponder what the Bible says concerning who God is and what God has done. That in itself stimulates our faith. The prophet reviews, to go further with the argument here, the prophet reviews God's working in history. Now look at verses 20 through 22. 20 through 22. It says, when thou, which hast set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day and in Israel and among all men, and hast made thee a name as at this day, and has brought forth the people, Israel, out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders, and with a strong hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with great terror, and hast given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. So here now, as he's being asked to make a faith decision in purchasing the land, he reviews God's working in history, and of course that stimulates his faith more because he's referencing what God did in Egypt, bringing Israel out of Egypt, the Exodus and so forth, and all of that involved. So the prophet reflects upon those things, and you can see then how it would be much easier then for him to step out by faith and make that purchase in prison. Again, we're talking about a faith decision. God's care for Israel proves his generous caring and power, the manna, the water out of the rock, and the many other things that we could say. Now let me move to the second point here. So in this land deal in prison, we see number one, we see a faith purchase. It was done by faith. Secondly, we see it was a redemptive purchase. A redemptive purchase. Now let me explain that. Here it is. And I would challenge you to read the whole chapter. You will see how all this comes together. His first cousin, that's Jeremiah's first cousin, his uncle's son, approaches him there in prison and offers him the opportunity of buying, the point is, of redeeming a piece of family property. So it has to do with redeeming a family property. You know, the Old Testament order, you could redeem property or you could redeem a relative. And you'll see that, of course, in the book of Ruth. So his first cousin gave him that right. The right of redemption was granted to family members under the Levitical law. It was granted. A near relative could redeem land to keep the family, to keep in the family, basically. That was the point, to keep the land in the family. And the study of the book of Ruth reveals this truth in the case of Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, marrying Ruth. So it's a wonderful thought there. So it's carrying out of a Levitical allowance. Now, Jeremiah exercised faith in God's promise to Israel. The Abrahamic covenant included land promises to Israel. And it's important to see that. He's exercising faith in God's covenant promises. The prophet exercises faith in prophetic truth. What am I talking about? I'm talking about God's future for Israel and the land purchase. God's future for Israel, or I meant to say the land promises. You see, Israel, under the Abrahamic covenant, God has given promises of massive land positions that Israel will occupy. Right now, they're having trouble over in the Middle East, convincing some of those hard-headed Islamic people, I don't mean to get on this too far, but one of these days there will be an awakening, and people will realize that was Israel's land all along to start with. So that's what we're seeing here. So now let's hurry. Let's hurry. That's always an important point, isn't it? We see here in this purchase, faith's purchase. By faith, by faith, Jeremiah did it. We see redemption purchase. It was the purchasing of land, keeping it within the family. Number three, it was a prophetic purchase. It was a prophetic purchase. His purchase, and I've already touched on this, had a prophetic connotation, for it tied in with God's promises to Israel, as I've already said. The Abrahamic covenant, which I'll mention again, included land promises to Israel in the future, which will be fulfilled during the millennium. The deed to the land, and here's something that I got to looking at it, got to studying it, and it really got my attention because I see such a good point here. Here's what I'm going to say here. The deed to the land, this is in the context of this passage of scripture here, and also in the context of Israel's history, Old Testament Israel history. The deed to the land consisted of two copies. Now stay with me for just a moment. It consisted of two copies which verified the purchase. Two copies verified the purchase. And I'll come back to that in just a moment, but that's an important point to be made there. Now, basically, we're talking about a prophetic purchase. There's prophecy involved here. Now, it's as though God is saying to Jeremiah, buy the land, Jeremiah, buy the land, for one day your descendants will officially claim it and own it. It's as though God was saying that. Then it was as though God was saying, buy the land, Jeremiah, for I have a future for your people. Or buy the land for my son. Here's a good point. This is in the same chapter. Buy the land for my son, the branch. Jesus in the Old Testament is, among other mentionings of him or titles, he's the branch. So it's as though God is saying, buy the land for my son, the branch, is scheduled to return and to reign. Let me give you the verse on it. Here it is. In those days, that's chapter 33, verse 15. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up into David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. So he said, buy the land, my son, or buy the land for my son, the branch. My son, the branch, is scheduled to return and reign. Then it's as though God said to Jeremiah, buy the land, for no power will ever succeed in dethroning God and circumventing God's future for his covenant people. So buy the land, Jeremiah. Then it's as though God is saying to Jeremiah, go ahead and buy the land. Buy the land, Jeremiah, even though you're in prison, buy the land, for the future blessings are far greater than your troubles. I'll give it to you again in another verse in chapter 33 of verse 16. It says, in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith ye shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. It's as though God is saying, buy the land, Jeremiah, from your prison cell, for it will be used in the end. Now let me move to the fourth point. In the purchase of that land by Jeremiah while he was in prison, we see faith's purchase. We see redemptive purchase. We see prophetic purchase. And now we come to the point that I want to get real practical, and I call it a precious purchase. And let me give you this thought. I believe what we have here is a precious illustration purchase of a New Testament truth. A precious illustration of the New Testament truth. I think tonight of the redemption of a sinner, and I think of the applicable principles which are suggested in this experience of Jeremiah. There are some principles that I see as being applicable. Number one, I think of the evidences of redemption. Did you see how that verse read? Right, let me go back here for just a moment. Let's see here. I'm looking for one particular verse, okay? Verse 14, okay? Verse 14. It says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences." Key word. Take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed, and this evidence which is open. Keep in mind again, the title deed consisted of two documents. One was sealed in an earthen vessel, and the other was open. So it says here, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both of which is sealed and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. Tonight, I think of the evidences of redemption. The evidences of redemption. We're talking redemption here, right? Redemption of land, but we're talking redemption. Evidences of redemption. Now, one of the copies, and I challenge you tonight to think of how this illustrates so clearly that wonderful New Testament truth of redemption. I want to remind you again, one of the copies of the deeds was secured in an earthen vessel. As Jeremiah 33 says, we can go to the New Testament. Paul's words in 2 Corinthians, where Paul mentions that the glorious gospel and its ensuing power is entrusted to God's messengers with frail human bodies or, quote unquote, earthen vessels. The precious gospel and its power entrusted to messengers, and I can say tonight in application, the people of God, messengers of the truth. Now here's the verse. We have, catch this, it's all right to smile even or to say amen or to say praise God. This is good stuff here. You might not be enjoying it, but I'm sure enjoying telling you about it. Here's the verse. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. 2 Corinthians 4:7. Here's what I'm saying. The evidence of the redemptive purchase is seen in the inward testimony of the saved who are simply earthen vessels. The evidence of redemption is seen in the earthen vessels. Remember now, the title deed in two documents, one hidden in earthen vessels and the other was open, verifying the redemption of the land or redemption. So the evidence, here's the point, the evidence of the redemptive purchase is seen in inward testimony of the saved who are simply earthly vessels. God's people have the evidence of redemption sealed as it were, in earthen vessels or jar. Now, I'm thinking, by the way, of the custom of Israel. Back in that time, in the history of Israel, the custom at that time was to seal valuables in earthen jars. That was a custom. I'm thinking of the Dead Sea Scrolls, for example. Dead Sea Scrolls found in Qumran, near the Dead Sea. Okay. Evidences of redemption. Earthen vessels. I believe the people of God reflect the evidence of redemption in our earthly vessels. Okay, here's another good verse. You may want to jot this down. Doesn't hurt to jot it down. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Do you know tonight we have the evidence of being saved inwardly? We have the indwelling Holy Spirit who seals us till the day of redemption. We have the testimony that God has given us. It's all of the Lord. It proves there's an inward proving in this earthen vessel that we've been redeemed. Amen. The body, by the way, says we're sealed till the day of redemption. The body, by the way, is destined to be redeemed when Christ returns for the bride. Soul has been redeemed. The body will be redeemed. And one day the earth will be redeemed. It's about redemption, isn't it? When you get, you know, and that's another message. Now, one of the pieces, here, let's go back now to this other. What about that other document? One of the pieces of the evidence of Jeremiah's land deal, or the deed, was not sealed in an earthen vessel, but it was open. It was open. Not put away, not hidden, not sealed, but open. While the other copy of the land deed was sealed and hidden in the vessel. Now, I want to just offer this tonight by way of application. I'm not preaching doctrine. I'm not, you know, deliberately trying to take a text and run with it and form a doctrine around. That's not what I'm doing. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for instruction and so forth. So I'm trying to make an application here. I'm reminded of the witness of God. We're talking about evidences now, aren't we? The evidences of redemption. I'm reminded tonight of the witness of God in the believer, as well as the Spirit of God bearing that internal witness. And we draw an illustration from that, I believe, in that one document that was put inside the vessel. But I'm also reminded tonight of that open deed. That open deed of evidence, application-wise, that I see suggested by that open deed. I'm reminded of the truth of the empty tomb. That cannot be disputed. I'm reminded tonight of the truth of genuine Christianity. That cannot be disputed. We're talking about even in the midst of this world. We're talking about even the historical evidence, for example, the historical evidence of Christ's resurrection, the proof of it. I mean, time won't permit me to go on with this evening, but we could lay the Bible aside for just a moment, and we'd have to, if we had any sense at all, we'd have to conclude that creation itself and everything around us testifies to the existence of a God who come out of the tomb. You can't deny it. So I see in that truth, that open document, I see not only the hidden truth of redemption, but I see the outward truth of redemption. The tomb is empty. The throne is occupied. Creation and everything around us says that God is. So in closing tonight, I'll close the same way in my article. And by the way, read the article. Post it on Facebook. I appreciate those that do. But here's how I ended it. I'm going to end my message tonight the same way. The evidence is clear that a redemption far greater than physical property occurs when a sinner gets saved. It's clear. What God did for a sinner is far greater in terms of purchase, in terms of redemption, than what took place in that prison cell. But what took place in that prison cell, I think, illustrates the New Testament truth of redemption, because after all, this book is all about Jesus Christ. It's all about redemption. And the harmony of scriptures is a beautiful thing to realize. When you can see Jesus in Jeremiah, you're getting somewhere in your appreciation of scriptures. Well, he's there. We've already seen him. He's the branch. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for this study, and help us to appreciate more what it really means to trust God. Bless now the remaining part of the service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.